from the Sky News Centre at 1. The BBC's Director General has defended the corporation's handling of the Jimmy Savile scandal, but George Entwistle has admitted to MPs things have taken longer than he would have liked. He also insisted a Newsnight investigation into the sex allegations last year wasn't axed because of pressure from bosses.
I've been able to find no evidence whatsoever in the conversations I've had that any kind of managerial pressure to drop the investigation was applied. The decision was made by Peter Rippon. And what was going on in his mind at the time is something that we've got to rely on the Pollard Review to interrogate as best it can.
A van driver has appeared in court again, charged with murdering a woman in a series of hit-and-run collisions. Matthew Turfton is accused of deliberately driving into parents and young children in Cardiff on Friday. The 31-year-old's also charged with 13 counts of attempted murder, actual bodily harm and dangerous driving. The Environment Secretary has announced that two pilot badger culls in the southwest of England are to be delayed until next summer. Questions have been raised over the cost and effectiveness of the scheme. The UK's first 4G mobile service will cost from £36 a month. Everything Everywhere, which owns Orange and T-Mobile, has announced a pricing plan designed to tempt smartphone customers before rival networks launch their services. It's not a name you expect to see on a list of the world's best cities to visit, but travel guide Lonely Planet has named Derry as one of the best destinations for 2013. It came fourth behind San Francisco, Amsterdam and Hyderabad. Derry's mayor Kevin Campbell says the Lonely Planet listing has come at a good time.
It's a confidence boost for the city. We have a great heritage here. We have the Derry Wall. And on top of that, next year is our big year, 2013. We are getting the message out.
And Lance Armstrong has removed the reference to winning 7 Tour de France titles on his Twitter profile. World Cycling's governing body has ratified the US anti-doping agency's sanctions to strip him of the yellow jerseys. That's the latest. I'm Kelly Withers.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you, Kelly Withers, in the newsroom. You're listening to kentbusinessradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Jules Serkin, who's back from Spain. Hello, Jules.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I've bought you a lovely big sausage, young man.
A lovely big what?
Sausage.
Sausage. Yes. Blimey. Can I unwrap it now?
All the way from Alicante. It's muy picante.
Blimey, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I like a big one, don't you?
I like a big chorizo. Is it a chorizo sausage?
Yeah, muy picante, señor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Mañana.
Enjoy that, mañana.
Thank you.
Your breakfast. I couldn't get the sombrero in.
Could you not? And where's the donkey?
Donkey grazing.
Still on the airport apron at Alicante, is it, when I chucked it off the Ryanair plane?
It's like Ryanair, not my favourite airline, I have to say.
I don't
know. They won't let you take your duty-free on. You know, you have to try and cram it all into your blimmin'...
Yeah, but 18 bottles of vodka is over the top, Jules. You know, I mean...
Well, you know what those Beaujolais boys did to me, don't you?
Go on.
Well, they sent me over to... they arranged for me to go for a wine tasting with Enrique Mendoza.
Cool.
Which is just outside Alicante, just before you get to Benidorm. And I took the tram, Paul, so that
you
I could...
took the tram?
...partake.
Do they know you got it? Are you holding it ransom? No, go on.
I took the journey in a tram.
Did you?
So that I could partake of the wine. And Magdalena, thank you Magdalena, she gave me a fabulous afternoon there. And they had a pomegranate tree growing.
You had a what?
They had a pomegranate tree.
A pomegranate tree?
Yeah, with huge pomegranates growing on them.
Fantastic. Did you try one? I love pomegranates.
Yeah,
they're a bit fiddly to eat though.
They are. You really need to sort of have time, don't you?
Yeah. But
it's a bit like gambas, you know, shell on prawns as well.
Really good for you, pomegranate juice apparently.
Very good for you. It sounds like you could do with a bit. What have you been up to?
Oh, I've got man flu. I've got the worst man flu ever
it's
recorded.
It's like sitting with Winnie the Pooh.
I'm a bear of very little brain anyway, but I have the worst man flu in recorded history.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, you need to Lemsip. That's what I suggest for you, young man.
Yeah, I've cornered the market in Lemsip. Blackcurrant Lemsip.
But the picante chorizo will get you going.
That'll sort me out, will
it?
Yeah. Cool. Good. Well, it's lovely to have you back. And you're looking all relaxed and tanned and ginger and stuff.
Yeah. I had a fantastic photo shoot with a lovely man yesterday, Chris Lee.
Right.
Photographer in Canterbury. I think you've met him at the Lenleys.
Yeah, yeah.
Very tall, dark hair.
We don't need to know that.
He gave me a photo shoot at my house, and fantastic. And his images are amazing. Good. I suggest you have a look at his website, Chris Lee.
Yep, will do. Please feel free to tweet us at Vanilla Web. We've already got quite a few tweets in. Or you can call us on 01303 874 998. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. We've got a great lineup of guests on the show today. Later on, we're going to be hearing from Mr. Gary Bartlett of Bush Grubs and Claws and Jaws. And I'll tell you what, listener, he's got some weirdo stuff there. I've been eating crickets this morning, would you believe? And it's on video.
Yes, it will be probably going out on iTube or YouTube or whatever it is.
iTube.
What is it? The tram.
No, tube.
The tram, later on.
Yeah.
But I'm not really looking forward to this bunker.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
There are some really disgusting looking mealworms, which I can only say look like mealworms that you put on the end of a fishing rod.
It's bait.
It's absolute, and there's like sort of, you know, layers of them. Like, they're not smooth, they're horrible. And then there's these hideous looking
we'll come to that things. Later, just put them away. And we're also going to be joined later on the show by Mr. Graham Webb, MBE, and we're looking forward to speaking to both these gentlemen enormously.
Yes,
so
we
do
are.
Stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk, kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and listen to the Business Bunker show.
And plus, who's going to be lurking in the background? Steve Harley.
Yeah, we got Steve Harley coming into the station later on the Kevin Can Extra Milk show, so stay tuned all afternoon. There's loads and loads of good stuff coming up. I think we'll start with an email though, Jules, if you would.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, Festival of Lights, Happy Diwali. This is the Canterbury Curry Club in association with Catering for Kent, the fabulous Hilda Marie and Paul Babra, who have always supported the Bunker Show. This is on Saturday the 10th of November and the also Saturday the 17th of November. One is at the Westgate Hall. And one is, the 10th of November, is at the HMS at the Abbey School in Faversham on the London Road there. Mm. Website is www.catering4kent.co.uk. It's only £19.95 a person. You can bring your own drinks. There's a Bollywood-style entertainment and Indian buffet. So that sounds really, really lovely. And that's on the 10th of November. So reserve your place there. There is a phone number. That's 01795-229-719.
Cool.
And all details will be on the Bunker website after the show, of course.
As always, everything that you hear on the show will be linked on the Business Bunker website. So do look for it there if you don't manage to jot it down while we're telling you about it. I've got loads and loads of tweets. He's let me down a bit this week. Sebastian Panels, normally does a tweet on a play on the words Business Bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's done one again this week for the sixth consecutive week, I have to say.
Well done, Seb.
Yeah, but this one's very, very tenuous.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, if Kent Business Radio had the Chancellor on as a guest taking economic cuts, would Vanilla Web, that's me, by the way, rename it the Business Shrunker.
Oh, no.
That is awful.
Seb, come
that
along.
Is really bad.
Come
yeah,
along,
I thought last
man.
Week's was bad, but that was, well, dear, oh dear.
What was last week's?
Oh, I can't remember. It was so bad.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
you buried it.
Yeah. The Kent Poppy Day appeal, which we talked about last week as well. This year, Kent Poppy appeal are organising themselves in a slightly different way.
Mm.
You can still buy poppies in the way that you've always done, you know, going to a shop or a railway station or whatever and buy your poppy.
Mm.
But the poppy people themselves are going to do a blitz day. There will be one day which they allocate in Kent as Poppy Appeal Day.
Right.
And we did a bit on last week's show about it, and they just tweeted to say thank you for that, and we will be supplying details of the actual day they're going to do shortly. So that's good, isn't it?
That sounds really good. I've got my poppy, but I always find it hard to pin it on me because this is silk, darling.
Just a nail.
No, this is silk. I'm not having little holes in my silk dress.
Staple gun. Ka-chunk.
So I need a little something to put around my neck, perhaps.
Oh, that's without shadow of a doubt.
Yes. Did you hear me splash last
I did,
week?
I did hear you enter the swimming pool gracefully.
It took me hours to do that, get in and splash just for you, and then you said it was a bit quiet.
It was a little bit quiet, but we could
and
tell.
And it was cold, because it's not heated that
pool. Yeah, no, we heard the scream.
Yeah, it's not heated. Yes.
Yeah, cool. Okay, we'd just like to wish Eke Media, Brant and the
lovely
guys,
Brant.
Good luck in the Bromley Business Awards this Thursday. So keeping our fingers crossed for you guys.
Yeah, good luck in that.
Yeah,
Brant.
So keeping our fingers crossed.
If
everybody.
They win, you know what they'll have when they celebrate, don't you?
What's that?
Fish
and chips. Yeah. Oh, and I set myself
fish
up for that, didn't
chips.
I? Yeah. They're going all the way to Northern Ireland to pretend to be New Zealanders to have fish and chips. Yeah.
It's not Northern Ireland, it's fish and chips.
But it sounds like Northern Ireland to me. No,
that's because you've got cold.
True, that is true. Yeah.
Who else is tweeting?
Sally Laker.
Hello, Sally.
Yeah, looking forward to the Business Bunker today.
Yeah, but she doesn't know I've got to eat blimmin' scorpion, does she?
Oh, she does now. She's going to do a really lovely line in scorpion cupcakes, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
That would go down a treat, that
God,
one.
I saw a cake she did. It was, who was it? Oh, yeah, Liz Astoraki of Riverford. Mm. She, her daughter, birthday cake, she wanted a TARDIS. You know, Doctor Who, TARDIS, as you do.
Yeah.
And she did this amazing cake. Mm. And it was so good that Liz said she couldn't cut it.
What do you mean she couldn't cut it?
Because it was so beautiful.
I thought you meant it kept disappearing into a different time dimension. Yeah. Every time she went near it with a knife, it appeared in 1921 or something.
She couldn't exterminate it.
Right, okay. Cool. A big thank you to Piperis Philippaios at U-Targeting, who has just sponsored me.
Has he?
From our sponsored chest wax on Friday.
I've heard about this at rehab.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about it later.
Yeah. Let's have a look at your chest now.
No.
Come on.
No, I did that last week.
Well, I want to know if it's genuine, if you're actually, you know, you might not be hairy.
No, well, I'm not now, because I've been trimming.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
It's going to really hurt, Paul.
Thank you.
And because you've never been in labour, it's going to hurt even more. Because you cannot physically have had three babies like I have.
How do you think I've got to look like this?
You haven't suffered. You've only had man labour.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. I got a tweet from James Bacon at Zorba Solutions. Have a great show today. We're all listening in. Thank you, James.
You're getting a Greek theme going.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Various,
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously. Mealworms.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to compete with Spain in your Spanish adventures,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chorizo. Picante. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Enrique Mendoza.
Thank you for that. Rehab Spa and Beauty Salon over in Whitstable in Oxford Street there are saying, come down to rehab and help us raise money for breast cancer all this month. There's lots of pink goodies.
So why did they choose you then? You're not pink.
I'm famous.
Well, is it because you've got breasts?
Probably.
Man breasts?
Probably.
Moobs?
Probably.
And you're going, what time are you going?
11 o'clock.
I might have to come along with my camera.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have said, can I pay to come and watch?
Yeah.
You're all a bunch of sadists.
Yeah.
That's what you are. You just all want to see me crying. I'm not happy about that.
How was the RSPCA? Did you go to that on Saturday night?
No, I didn't, but I've got a thing to read out about it here somewhere later, so yeah. We will do that.
Who else you got?
Oh, well, rehab again. Special offers throughout October. Call us to find out what we have to offer. So do tweet us by following me at Vanilla Web and sending us a tweet.
Are rehab stalking you, perhaps?
They're just making sure I'm turning up, I think. But we'll do that in a minute.
You're going to look like David Beckham, aren't you, after? All shiny and polished.
Yeah.
And then we'll get a picture of you in some Calvin Kleins.
Is that guaranteed that I'll look like Beckham afterwards?
I'll get you some Calvin Kleins, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.
And you can pose.
They don't make them that big. Read an email.
Okay. Hello everyone, this is an event for this Thursday. This is from the lovely Janice, the tall one at the Abbott Spartan. She says, Jim Hunt from the Purple Edge is coming in to talk about marketing and how to do it effectively. The meeting starts at 7 a.m. and it's 8:50 a person. Hope you can join us for what will be a great talk and networking meeting. To confirm your place, please reply to Janice Watton at the Abbott Spartan Hotel, and this is this Thursday coming, the Thursday the 25th of October, Jim Hunt of the Purple Edge. That sounds like a good one. Thanks, Janice, for that. That will be on the Bunker website after the show.
Yep.
What a day of miles and smiles. On a beautiful Sunday morning, the Kent countryside showed off its autumn colours as over 100 cyclists whizzed round the lanes of West Kent, accompanied by Viscount, is it Viscount or Viscount? Depends if you're American, doesn't it?
Guess so.
De Lille, Lord Lieutenant or Lieutenant of Kent, the patron of Kent Foundation, Viscountess de Lille, mingled with the cyclists as they gathered at Penshurst Place. Is that Penshurst Place?
That's Penshurst Place, depending on whether you're Australian, American, or from Tunbridge Wells.
As the bells tolled eight, Lady de Lille waved a flag to start the sportive on its way. So this was a charity bike ride with a difference. The director of Kent Foundation, Paul the Red Baron, said there was a brilliant atmosphere and everyone enjoyed themselves, and there was great feedback about the route. They were looking at the medieval architecture and builders of 300 years ago, and what they would think about today's enterprising ideas. So well done everyone there. They raised £3,700 from sponsorship, and the cyclists will go, this will go towards helping young people start up in business. So that's the help also from West Kent Heritage Bike Ride, and supported by British Cycling. Building on this year's success, the next Miles and Smiles with Wheels appeal bike ride will be 2013. So thank you for that. Great effort, guys.
Well, excellent. Done. And I've got something here, something else that we'd like you to support. Support your local Northwest project today. Vote for Achieving Something Special to win a National Lottery Award. Achieving Something Special has reached the final of the National Lottery Awards 2012, and vote for them before the 28th of October and they could win a cash prize to support their project and appear at a star-studded BBC One event. National Lottery players raise £30 million a week for good causes, and the National Lottery Awards are an annual search to find the UK's favourite lottery-funded projects. The voting is really easy. There is a QR code, but obviously you can't do that over the radio, but we can put a link to that on the website, which we will do later. So if you listen to this, I'm going to read you out the website address that you can go into to vote on this. But again, we'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website later on today. But it's www.lotterygoodcauses, that's all one word, lotterygoodcauses.org.uk/awards/arts. I'll do that again. That's www.lotterygoodcauses.org.uk/awards/arts. We'll put a link to that on the website later on. There's also a phone number you can use to vote, which is 08448 369 670. So, and that voting closes on the 28th of October, so you've got a couple of days to vote. So please do go and vote and support that. It's an educational charity supporting young people and adults with learning disabilities. So give it your full support, please, people out there. And we'll put all the links to that on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can follow up later. Fantastic stuff. Earlier on today, a couple of people popped into the studio before we were on air.
Was it Steve Howley?
It wasn't. He's coming in later. These were far more famous people. These were people that follow me on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. Andrea Rubin and Johnny Cotter, who run the Johnny Cotter Gallery in Folkestone.
Right.
An art gallery.
Because they've got that fabulous picture next door.
Yeah, all the pictures on the wall in the bistro next door are all from Johnny Cotter's gallery. And they're going to do us a picture for the studio.
Are they? Is it going to be you and your Calvin Kleins with your wax chest?
Very likely not, no.
And you, remember the other guests we had on that had did the speakers that you could put behind artwork?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we from Kingsbridge.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not go there.
No.
But do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to play a bit of tunage.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is a special request from Andrea. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a bit of, listen to this,
ooh.
Duran Duran.
Ooh.
Calling on their way.
Wild Boars, Duran Duran. That's especially for Andrew Rubin and Johnny Cotter over there in Folkestone. Mm.
Do you remember those hairstyles?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Do I remember hair? Yeah, I remember hair. I didn't quite have a hairstyle like that. I was a bit more punk than that. But
you've got most on your chest now, haven't you?
No, not for long.
Not for long. No, Friday, 11 a.m, Whitstable High Street.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I've got. Have you got the email to read out about that?
Somewhere, yeah. I've got about 1,800 emails.
Yeah, it's got my Just Giving page on there, so I want loads of donations as well. Thank you. Anyway, we'll come to that later on in the show.
But can we move swiftly on from these cockroaches and grubs? And
We're going to talk to Gary Bartlett now from Bush Grub and Claws and Jaws. Gary, welcome to Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Is that a cricket that escaped there?
It's just a leg.
Oh, only a leg.
They're all oven baked, so they tend to be quite brittle. You do find that when you put them on the plate, the odd head or the wing or the leg drops off now and again.
I know the feeling. So you've got a cricket drumstick there, basically.
But it's wandered off on its own onto the carpet, which is not very nice.
Well, I have to tell the listeners, I ate one earlier. A cricket.
You ate a listener?
No, I didn't eat a listener.
You ate a listener.
No, we don't have enough listeners to eat one. but I ate a cricket earlier, and do you know what?
What?
It tasted like nuts.
Not like chicken?
It didn't taste like chicken, it tasted like nuts. Yeah.
I think you just did it to be sort of butch and blokey. Just to show off. Yeah. I'm not sure if you have. Yeah.
I'll eat anything, mate.
But I'm not very keen on... And they look a bit lifelike to me.
Hmm. Well...
And then...
Anyway, let's hear from Gary. Tell us a little bit about...
They've got intestines and bodies.
They're all oven-baked. So they're all oven-baked.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the business. Because there's two different parts of your business as well.
Yeah, sure. Myself and my son, Ben, who's in his final year at university, we've got a couple of businesses that we run. Mm. One is called Claws and Jaws. Mm. And we have our own collection of reptiles, snakes, bugs. We've got a bird of prey. And we
I bet you got spiders as well.
We have got a very friendly tarantula called Mr. Fuzz.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go out to a lot of birthday parties for children. We go to
and kill them.
No, the children absolutely love them. We do a lot of birthday parties. We do corporate events. And we're actually going to a wedding this Friday. So the wedding couple want some entertainment in between the reception and the evening session for the children. So we're going along with our snakes and our tarantulas. And I'm sure there'll be some quite different wedding photographs at that wedding by the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah.
God. Is it a gothic wedding?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, they
just normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, doesn't sound very normal to me.
Not to me either.
So that's Claws and Jaws. We've done some events with Groupon as well, where we've done some animal handling sessions for families to come along. Mm. And we've got some Bush Tucker trial events coming up soon with Groupon as well. They're going to be advertised at the end of this month, where people can come along and have five trials holding various animals and five trials eating the various sweets as well.
Right, okay.
And then hopefully whoever gets the most stars and whoever wins the most trials will be crowned our king or queen of the jungle.
Brilliant.
Where did you get this idea from?
I think it was probably my son. He started off, as most children do, with rabbits and hamsters.
Well, that's sweeter, isn't it,
yeah,
frankly?
Yeah. But then he wanted something to eat them, so...
And then, as children do, they start to talk about snakes and reptiles, and as parents, we tried to put them off as much as we could, but after a few years, we relented, got our first little leopard gecko. Then that led to a bearded dragon, and then that led to a tarantula, and then that led to a skink, and we've now got...
A what?
A skink.
A skink?
A skink is a bit like a snake with very tiny legs.
Oh. Ugh. That sounds horrible.
That sounds like the
snakes
worst of everything.
Enough.
Yeah.
Probably the worst of the cockroaches.
Oh, are they?
The Madagascan hissing cockroaches are about 4 inches long.
A Madagascan hissing cockroach?
Yeah. The little boys love those at the party.
Blimey.
And do they hiss?
They do. Yeah, they do. If they get a bit stressed or a bit unsure of themselves when you touch them on the back, they make a very loud hiss. They do that in the wild naturally. To if something was trying to attack it, they would hiss to frighten off what was trying
sounds
to
like Jules.
To gobble it up.
And do they smell?
No, sort not of, at all.
Do
no.
they not have a musty smell?
All the animals that we've got are probably much less smelly and a lot easier to look after than rabbits and guinea pigs.
Paul Andrews.
Snakes only eat once every couple of months, so they're very very cheap to look
like
after.
Like Paul Andrews,
well. Yeah. So we did that first with the Claws and Jaws parties, and obviously we're still doing that now. And for some strange reason, we googled one day edible insects, found a website that sold edible insects.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, was it raining? I mean,
probably wife was watching Coronation Street or something.
Do you know anyone that would google edible insects, Paul?
No.
Well, we did, and we're actually making a business out of it now, because I think I mentioned to you earlier that I took redundancy from a big retail chain back in only June this year.
Right.
And the week after, I phoned up ITV and said, hello, I've got an idea to sell our bugs and have them licensed with the I'm a Celebrity logo. And they actually loved the idea. The week after I got made redundant, myself and Ben went up to London and was having a chat with one of the directors of ITV. We got the license, we got the rights to use the I'm a Celebrity logo, we've got the rights to use the Bush Tucker trial name, which is all copyrighted. Mm. Hence why you see this rather attractive box out in front of me, Jill.
This is like a listener, this is like a selection box, not the sort of thing that I'm hoping to find in my stocking centre.
Not a Mars bar one.
No, it's a green, frog green jungle sort of box. And on it, you've got, listen to this, Paul, you've got Crispy Critter salt and vinegar crickets.
Yep.
You've got Crispy Critter barbecue mealworms.
Right.
Which look like mealworms.
Bait. That's bait, that is.
That's bait. You've got cocoa bugs, chocolate-covered bugs. Possibly I could lick the chocolate off that and coat, but
they're
I'm not
mealworms
sure.
Mealworms and crickets.
The bit underneath looks, yeah. And then you've got Bug Pop Scorpion. which looks like a bloody scorpion. With,
well, that's because it is a scorpion.
It's got legs.
That's the clue.
It's got antlers and what are they?
Antlers.
They're its natural legs.
Pincers.
Yeah, they've got the pincers.
What
at
are
the
they,
front
natural? Now.
They're the pincers, but they've had the stinger taken off. So there's nothing there.
How good of you. How good of you. And then you've also got, last but not least, just to round up, you've got a bug pop worm. So yeah, it's in a lolly.
That's a mealworm. That's a bit larger mealworm than the oven baked ones.
But the thing is, you haven't sort of made them look remotely palatable, have you? You've left, they just look like innards and pincers and bodies and abdomens.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it? It's a bush tucker trial.
Do you remember that from biology? Thorax, when
I've eaten one. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and look at you.
Yeah, I know.
We've left the crickets as they are, because when you eat them, you sometimes get their legs stuck in between your teeth.
Yeah.
Makes the trial a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. I had a cricket earlier, and you want to see me jump now. I can jump 15 times my own body height.
So, I'm just thinking, in Spain, the cicadas that I hear all the time. Did I tell you I went to Spain?
Nah.
10 days. Sevilla.eu.
Did you?
The cicadas I hear in the trees. Could you eat those? What would you do?
Probably you can. I mean, most insects are edible. But the ones that we import are specially bred in California for human consumption. So they've been fed on food that's obviously not got any toxins or anything like that in it. So they're not the mealworms that you see. Their barbecue flavour and not the same mealworms as you get in your fishing tackle shop. Although you could actually eat those, you just need to keep them for a few days and feed them on cucumber or lettuce and let all the nastiness pass through, and then you could actually eat them.
So they're almost organic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right.
Oh no.
It's time to eat the mealworms.
Yeah,
come
on, Jules.
What shall I have? What's the worst thing that I could... Well, is that? That is the worst thing.
That's the worst. I would start with the mealworms, and these are flavoured. They're barbecue flavour.
And you want me to start with the mealworms because that one is the one that's going to get stuck in my throat?
That's the most interesting one.
So here we go, listener. I'm just giving it a little shake. There's a whole box of these creatures... mealworms, and I'm going to have one. One?
Yeah, I'll just eat one.
And it actually feels like a mealworm.
Well, it would do. You know why?
Because it is one.
Because it is a mealworm.
It's got all hard ridges on it.
I'll tell you what, that's nothing. It's easy. You want to try eating a witchetty grub or a Malpani worm if you really want to have something horrible.
We have tried to import witchetty grubs, but they're not available at the moment, I'm afraid.
I've had one, and I'm having another one.
Ah, see, they can't be that bad, can they?
The flavour is nice.
You got to look at this, listener. She's now licking the bowl out.
Yeah.
She's gone for this big time.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
So this is barbecue flavour.
Gourmet Jules.
Do you want one, Paul?
Yeah, go on.
We can buy different flavours, but the barbecue is by far the most popular.
Do you want one, Graham?
Definitely not.
Actually, the flavour is lovely if you don't think about what you're eating.
But it doesn't, you know, but it's not, you know, some things you eat, just the consistency of it is enough to put you off. But there's nothing offensive in it at all, is there?
No,
really?
Just ridges and it's abdomens and legs and thoraxes.
Yeah, but you have to have an active imagination to do that, Jules.
How many calories in that, then? I would think that's quite good for you.
I wouldn't have thought there's anything at all.
Yeah, protein? Would that be protein?
Yeah, I mean, in the Netherlands at the moment, they're doing some experiments where they're not particularly eating them so you can see what they look like, but they're grinding them up and using them in recipes as a replacement for nuts because they do taste quite like nuts.
So good for people with allergies, nut
mm-hmm.
allergies,
yep.
mm. As long as you haven't got a mealworm allergy. What is the next one? The next one looks
I
like a
I would
try
wasp. The... That's a cricket. That's an oven-baked cricket. It's not flavoured, so you get the true cricket flavour with this one.
That was a sigh.
Mm. I don't like cricket. Oh, no.
Okay, so is this what you ate?
Yeah, yeah.
This has got this has got a great big sort of thorax.
I'll just
body.
Eat it, Jules. Don't describe it.
It's got great big legs that go up like cricket shape.
No,
and
that's because they're cricket.
Who'd have thunk it?
Some of them are silvery, creamy colour, and then there's some dark brown ones which look horrible.
It's when you see their eyes staring at you.
Oh God! And this one is one of the. I'll try and get the one that lost its leg so that I don't have to have so much.
I'll just eat it.
If I go quiet, it's because
that'll be a miracle. If you go quiet, I'm going to buy his entire stock of crickets. That's what's going to happen.
How rude! Yeah, that's it's like eating an insect.
It's like eating a cricket, surprisingly.
Yeah. You want one, Paul?
I've already had one, but I'll have another one because I quite enjoy them, actually.
Do you want one, Graham?
Definitely not.
Graham's...
I'm a carnivore.
Mm. Yeah. I've got those legs everywhere now.
I think, can you... God, there's legs in the studio. What's Steve Harley going to say? Should we save him, Mum? So I've had why are they, some of them darker? Is that because they've been baked more?
I think it's just a
different
crunchy
natural colour. They are crunchy. Do you want this leg that's on the plate, Paul?
No, I've just eaten some legs.
There's a bit of leg.
But the thing that interests me are the lollipops.
Yeah.
So, Gary, tell us a little bit about the lollipops and...
Oh, he's put a scorpion under my... Sorry, go on, Gary.
They're two different scorpions. Two different sorts of lollies. Scorpion lollipops and mealworm lollipops. And they're basically different flavoured lollies, fruit flavour lollies, with a real scorpion inside or a real mealworm inside. By far the most popular scorpion lolly is the blueberry one.
Right.
But this one that I'm just holding in front of me now, that's a watermelon flavour.
Right, okay.
And the one in the box on the desk is an apple flavour.
Blimey. And just getting business focused for a little while.
Yeah.
How do you sell those things? Presumably you wholesale them.
Yeah. As I said, I only got made redundant in June. So I had no real knowledge of what to do or how to go about it. So I literally got on the phone one day and phoned people up and said, hello, I've got some bugs to sell.
I've got some scorpions in a lollipop. How many do you want?
Phoned up people like Hawkins Bazaar and there was a stunned silence at the other end of the phone and they said, they are made of chocolate, aren't they? And I said, no, they are actually real. So I sent them some samples and they've been brilliant. They've taken a lot of our stock this Christmas. They're on their website at the moment.
Right.
It's a great shop, Hawkins Bazaar.
Yeah. They took our first batch and sold out within a week. They've now ordered 5 batches, and when the new series of I'm a Celebrity starts, which hasn't been announced yet, but it's likely to be starting on the 11th of November, our stock will have the new I'm a Celebrity branding on it, and the Bush Tucker Trial selection box will be available as well.
Brilliant.
Hawkins Bazaar are selling them, Amazon will be selling them, we're selling them on our own website, and hopefully after this show lots of other people want to sell them as well.
Absolutely. So, and you're a Kent-based business?
Yep, North Kent. Live in Sittingbourne.
In Sittingbourne. Yep. Fantastic.
Nice and near to me.
Yeah, because yours is going to be over there queuing up to buy more of these. Yeah. She's addicted.
The one that I'm... there's this one left, look, Paul.
Which is what?
This is a thing with legs and
that's
long tail.
That's the scorpion.
Yeah, go on. Go for it.
Look.
Yeah, yeah. Go on.
I'm trying to tell myself, really, it's just a little lobster.
Yeah. For your birthday party, you have water-walled lobsters on Tankerton Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that is a tiny version of that. Now, you managed to eat 15 lobsters for lunch.
It is
so you can eat one tiny scorpion, I'm sure.
It is also a bit like a louse or a nit that you might find crawling in your kid's hair. Shall I eat this then? Is this the one that's going to get stuck in my throat?
You'll soon find out.
Oh, it's nice and crunchy.
Yeah. It's a lot more chewy.
What flavour was it?
That's just scorpion flavour.
You don't
just scorpion
get, flavour. It's just like an animal.
When we do the Bush Tucker trial, that's always the last one we do to see who can get the final star.
It's quite fishy in a funny kind of way.
In a lobstery kind of way, presumably.
And actually, it doesn't go. You keep chewing. Yeah. Maybe sometime. Oh, it's very fishy. It's quite mealy. Not have one of these?
Not yet.
Can we all have a scorpion?
Yeah, sure.
Give him 5.
They taste a lot better in the lollies.
Oh, I'll just have some more.
I'm going to have one in a minute.
Yeah, the mealworms, I could have them at a cocktail party, and I probably will order some for a party because I like things that are unusual.
The mealworms are probably the most popular.
Yeah. But that scorpion.
The scorpion ones, do you do them in different, like, barbecued and salt and vinegar flavour?
No, they are actually really expensive to import. Very expensive to put. They cost us, we have to buy it in dollars, and they cost us about 50 cents each scorpion.
Oh, really?
Whereas the mealworms are like...
And where do you import them from, Gary?
There's one company in California.
Right.
Who has been selling dried insects for about 25 years now.
But presumably it's a particular type of scorpion.
Yes, it is, yeah. Don't ask me the Latin name, it's on the back of the box, but don't ask me to pronounce it.
Do you know where they're native to?
No.
Okay.
I would imagine Africa, yeah. Some part of Africa. But no, it's. I mean, they are all farmed in the United States for purely for human consumption. So it's not as though somebody's gone out with a bucket and jumbled them. Picked them all.
Yeah, that one does taste like somebody's gone out with a bucket.
One thing, you know, if this takes off, and you know the way the sales are going at the moment, you know, hopefully it will do. But the biggest cost to us is to actually import them from the United States, because nobody in the UK actually makes food grade edible insects at the moment. I mean, right. If we could do that, the cost would absolutely plummet. Cool. So that may be an idea for next year.
Brilliant. I can see it's going to rocket, because it's just so novel.
Unusual, yeah.
It's exciting and actually.
And the branding, along with, you know, the bush tucker trial and all that kind of stuff will be what makes it happen. Gary, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker.
No problem. Thank you.
And letting us taste some of your fantastic insects. Give us a quick shout for both your websites.
Yeah, sure. The parties that we do, corporate events, that's Claws and Jaws. So if just Google Claws and Jaws.
Okay.
And the insect and sweet snacks is Bush Grub. So it's just www.bush_grub.co.uk.
Cool. And both of those links are on the Kent Business Radio website, and will stay up there on the website if you want to find out more. And if you're going to Bush Grubs, there's pictures of what Jules has just been eating all on the homepage of that website.
I have actually got a bit stuck in my tonsil, I think.
Yeah, I can see.
That'll be the scorpion.
I can see the stinger hanging out your side of your mouth, actually.
Waving.
Yeah, brilliant. Gary, thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to stay for the rest of the show, but for the moment, thank you very much. That's Gary from Claws and Jaws and Bush Grub.
Can you pass the water?
Gary Barton. You've got water. Cool. I think we'll do... I've got loads of tweets piling up. We've got a zillion emails to read. I think if you can... zap through a couple of emails, and then we'll come to our next studio guest.
I'll just get
Mrs.
this tail bit out of my mouth. Ruth Gradus, the spa director at Rehab, just to let you know that Paul Andrews at Vanilla Web is undergoing his sponsored chest wax in aid of breast cancer care and all things pink. He's just flashed his breasts at me, listener. Such a man. So his website for this is www.justgiving.com/Paul-Andrews5. So get in there. It's a great cause to get this man ship-shaped, ready for Christmas, looking like David Beckham, in his Calvin Klein's. Other pants are available. But go on to the Just Giving website, Paul Andrews. Details will be on after the show. But it's this Friday, the 26th of October, in Whitstable High Street at Rehab. I will be going along with my camera.
Thank you.
And I shall send it to Mr. Nerden of the Whitstable Times.
Oh, John's going to be there.
Is he?
John's coming. John Nerden, the editor of the Whitstable Times, will be there. Yeah.
How lovely.
Mm-hmm. While you're thinking about that, just going to catch up with some of the tweets as well, because there's loads coming in. I've got Sally Laker. Christmas cakes are now available to order. And you can also pop into the said Rehab in Whitstable and get cupcakes for breast cancer too, for £1 each.
Well, that's
good. Do that as well, please.
With scorpions in.
Well, we're going to work on that, I think. I really do think we need a scorpion cupcake.
Yeah.
I think that is a new branding opportunity.
Mm. Who else tweet her for you?
We've had Len Liz, Roper Road in Canterbury.
Jonathan Watts.
Yeah, eating scorpion on the Business Bunker show. Hashtag yuck.
Thank you, Jonathan. I shall bring you some in for your terrazzo restaurant.
Yeah, cool.
Don't forget, it's the tweet up there, isn't it, this Thursday. And we have speaker, Mr. Paul Andrews.
Never heard of him.
Telling us about Channel Radio launch and what's available for businesses in Kent.
Absolutely.
That's this Thursday, 10 a.m. at Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury.
Absolutely. Cool. Right, let's do another email and then we'll come to our next studio guest.
Here's an event. It's Manana. It's the 24th of October, free entry. Have you recently started a new business or thinking about starting a new venture? If yes, then head for Kent's 2020 Startup Live. Spend a day meeting and talking to people who can support and direct you, inspire and inform you. Kent Foundation for Young Entrepreneurs will be part of the support village, and we'll be delighted to talk to you. Suzanne and Paul and Stuart will be there during the day. Do you know their surnames?
No.
Stuart and Paul will be running a variety of workshops during the day, and you also have the opportunity to attend their Success of Presentations workshop. That sounds like a good one. Starting at 2 o'clock. So this is all, you can contact Suzanne Phillips with one L there, Kent Foundation for Young Entrepreneurs, room B45, Sessions House, Maidstone, Kent, 3ws.kentfoundation.org, and that's manana at the Kent 2020 Startup Live, free entry 11 to 7pm.
Cool, thank you for that. I think we'll now come to our second studio guest, Mr. Graham Webb, MBE. Graham won't remember this, of course, but he once cut my hair. And looking at you looked at me immediately, didn't you, and went, what hair? But when he cut my hair, I had rather a lot of it. Because it
was you are a Leo, so you would have.
Yeah, I did. I had big hair. Yeah. But it was nearly 30 years ago in his original shop in Lee Green.
Oh. Wow. Mr. Snip, was it called?
Something like that. Graham, welcome to the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I don't even know where to start as an introduction to you and the things that you've done in your life. I mean, this man is a serial entrepreneur, an author, a speaker, and an all-round massive, massive bloke. Graham, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker. Tell a listener a little bit about you and your background.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here. You talking about all my enterprises, it reminded me of when I gave a speech in Belgium, and I met a business person there, and he asked me what I did, and I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I have many, many businesses. I said, oh, great. You know, what kind of businesses? And he said, I have many, many, many businesses. And I said, oh, great. What sort of business? He said, I think you say in England, I have my finger in many tarts. So it just shows you, if you go to another country, you have to be a bit careful where you say these things. But I was a disabled kid. I was born with spina bifida. Mm. Dropped out of school at 15, couldn't get a job. 62 rejections from companies where I was interested in a sales or marketing career. Mm. And my mum saw an ad for a trainee hairdresser. And frankly, it was the last thing I wanted to do. And I didn't actually like being a hairdresser. Mm. But it opened up a $59 billion industry to me. Mm. And the short version is eventually I co-built one of the biggest hair care companies on the other side of the Atlantic, and a chain of salons here in the UK where we had a great team of about 300 people.
Absolutely. Having said it now, I bet there's not anybody out there listening that doesn't know of a Graham Webb salon. You just see them all over the place.
Well, they are still all there. I wrote a best-selling autobiography in 2004, not, of course, expecting it to be as huge as it became. Mm. And I just said to my British team that this is a journey I wouldn't have anticipated. Mm. So they bought the business off me.
Right.
And I travelled down a new road that I would never have imagined, that being an author and a professional speaker. You know, they go together.
Absolutely, yeah. I just want to come back to excuse me, your original business.
Bit of cockroach in your mouth.
I have. A frog in my throat, actually. Because apart from the salons, of course, you had all this whole range of beauty products that you developed too. Can you tell us a little bit about that and expand on that a bit?
Well, when you have a disability, especially a hidden disability, mine wasn't discovered till I was 33.
Right.
And most of the day, you get up in the morning worrying about what embarrassments you're going to get that day.
Yeah.
And so I actually built a lifestyle business. There's now a phrase for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But essentially, it was anything that made me happy or less worried was much more relevant than the wealth creation or the bottom line profit. Mm. And of course, what's intriguing when I speak in business schools is that I did create a wealth-creating company. But I saw that Sassoons were doing a thing called hair shows in America, like a fashion show but for hair.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I've seen America on the movies. You know, that would make me feel excited if I could go to the States with my hairdressing team. Mm. And, you know, we had two or three little salons in southeast London, but I'm a good salesman, and I managed to sell myself into the States. Mm. In fact, the Vidal Sassoon artistic team did this big show the year before me,
right.
And staggeringly, it was me and my little shops that did the following year. And I think sometimes when you promote yourself above your current ability, you can grow into it.
You rise to it, yeah, absolutely.
You rise to it. Mm. And we did this massive show in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The distributors and manufacturers are really not interested how you cut a fringe. Mm. Without me realizing it, you know, I sold to a lot of the audience how we increased our volume, our financial volume, mm. which of course they loved. Mm. And so we were suddenly booked all over America and Canada, and then it became Japan, Australia and stuff. And America is new. So after a while, as a creative team, they'd want somebody else. Mm. So I realized I needed a business. So I opened a big academy in the Washington, D.C. area that mm. did become a role model for how any post-secondary school should be run mm. across North America.
Right, okay.
Which was, for my industry, was brilliant.
Right, okay.
And that had so much publicity that when the U.S. Entrepreneur of the Year, Robert Taylor, was looking for somebody to do a hair care range with him, I popped up on his radar.
Right.
And I think I was the only Brit out of the five candidates. And I think he was expecting a chap with a gypsy earring and a hairy chest and a gold medallion.
Right.
And, you know, he got an entrepreneur as well as somebody that had a reputation of integrity
right.
within our industry. And so we went into business together. He was as tough as old boots. But I learnt that when two partners in a business always agree, one of them's unnecessary.
Absolutely.
And we were a very good team, and we co-built one of the biggest professional hair care companies in America.
Cool. A really, really, really fabulous story of success.
And it gave me the money to eventually have my limbs rebuilt, bowel rebuilt, bladder rebuilt.
Right.
And it is an extraordinary story. And when I kept being asked by my surgeons, you should really do a book. And in America, they knew I was a school dropout, but they didn't know the secrets. Mm. And but they said, oh, you should do a book, you know, like Rags to Riches. Mm. And eventually I wrote the book myself. Mm. I then realized I needed a professional to polish the words. And he remembered me telling him some awful embarrassments. Mm. And he said, it has to go in.
Mm.
And I went, oh, no way.
Mm.
But it did go in, and it's so correct that it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now when I give a speech around the world, people want to come up afterwards and ask you or share with you some of their own challenges, not just medical, but, you know, my son's a budding entrepreneur. Could you sign the book to him? So it's not all about the challenges.
Mm.
It can be corporate challenges or opportunities as well as the various medical things. And of course, when I had major neurosurgery, they said to my wife, Graham's going to pull through, but I don't think you can have children. And she said, oh, we've already got two. and then we had two more. So any ladies listening, everything has always worked okay.
It's all intact.
But I think they must have neurologically thought there was something missing.
So is that why, Graham, that did you get bullied at school? Because
I was known as the shirt because my shirt was always hanging out over my urine-stained trousers. Mm. And they didn't discover what it was until I was 33.
Mm.
And even though I saw lots of different orthopedic surgeons for what used to be funny feet.
Right.
Well, they weren't funny. And so I had all those years of embarrassments. And I think when children look a bit different, you know, children can sometimes be unkind.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I now look on my disability as a gift.
Mm.
I think I had a gift that steered me.
Mm.
And whether that made me more compassionate or more determined or more sensitive.
Or probably both, or all three,
I see the disability now as a gift, just like some of the wonderful Paralympians who may not have done what they did if they had not discovered they'd suddenly had something go wrong.
Absolutely, I mean, I've heard you speak quite a few times, and you're very inspiring, and your whole story is a very inspiring thing, and it's one of the things that I love, you know, because we almost like the kind of bullying thing that you were talking about earlier, we get very blasé about things, you know, and we talk about entrepreneurs, and you have this backstory that says, you know, and then they made £1 million, da 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 da. But nobody really ever thinks about the person behind that, and you know, what challenges they may have overcome to even start. And I'm not talking about the business challenges, I'm talking about personal challenges. Mm. You know, with someone like Graham that had a very major undiagnosed illness, yet still built an international business whilst, you know, in that circumstance.
Of course, it was, I reflect a lot on many of the speeches I gave when we were a pretty huge US company, standing there in my 28-pound baby nappies.
Right.
And there is an interesting juxtaposition where you're standing there addressing 1,000 beauty practitioners, standing there not knowing what the speaker has actually got on, going on down below.
Mm.
But I think the other thing is that although I've always been a very strict marketeer and promoter, I think that in business you climb the highest by staying on the level.
Yeah.
And we had, I was known for my integrity.
Mm.
And for somebody like me to then become chairman of the Institute of Directors here in Kent or on the CBI Council, these are things that I would never at one time have thought of doing. And then having changed the Kent IOD a lot, I then had Kent companies asking me to be a non-exec, and I'm a proud non-exec of Britain's top health and safety company called PHSC PLC,
right,
based here in the county, but we're national, and I've been a non-executive director there for the last 9 years, and I'm sure that they engaged me partly, not just because of my wisdom lines, but perhaps for the integrity too.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind, I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about your time at the IOD. Excuse me. Because I've been a long-term member of the IOD. And down here in Kent, just like everywhere else in the IOD, not a lot happened locally. The IOD was a very London-centric organisation with magnificent headquarters in Pall Mall, which is brilliant if you were a reasonable-sized corporation and you hung out in London. But for the rest of us that didn't, it didn't mean a lot. And then along came Graham Webb. And Graham Webb became the chairman of the Kent branch of the IOD. And boy, did he make a difference. Just talk us through what inspired you to do that, Graham, and what the kind of changes were that you made.
Well, when Edwin Borman, the chairman before me, when he asked me to take it on, they had a lot of people on a committee that had many meetings, and I'm not very good at waffles, so I had a sort of made the team very small, and I wanted the corporate identity of Kent to reflect Pall Mall.
Right.
At the time, you had glorious Pall Mall and a woman with an answer machine in her bedroom.
Right.
And so you can't have an office with a good team and getting rid of the answer machine. You can't do that with no funding.
Mm.
So my team and I created funding. At the time, Sir Alastair Morton had appointed me onto the then Kent Tech, the Training and Enterprise Council, and the government were trying to persuade the techs to bring more enterprise. We had the education, but they wanted more enterprise. And I said to Sir Alastair, we have a great opportunity here. You give me a free office within the Kent Tech building for the Institute of Directors, and all you've got to do is walk along the alleyway, and we're there. And that's what happened. And I did get a warning letter from the IOD in Pall Mall telling me that we're not our own entity and I had no right to do what I did.
Mm.
I went ahead anyway, and you know, within 18 months, the Kent branch was used as a role model for how any other branch in the country should be run.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of these big organisations like the IOD and the CBI, they're staffed by very good people that are basically intrapreneurs.
Right.
And then you've got headstrong entrepreneurs out in the field running the branches.
Mm.
And I suppose there is an inevitable clash sometimes.
Sure.
I took the clash on the chin and proudly then became the chairman of a role model branch.
Absolutely. And it certainly is a role model, isn't it? I mean, the Kent branch is massively active in the Institute of Directors even now, isn't it?
Oh, it's still recognised. If you talk to Andrew Mayne Wilson, the chief operating officer, he still flags Kent up as a role model.
Absolutely. Just go on and tell us a little bit about some of the other things you've done since then as well, because you became a Kent ambassador, I think.
Yep, I am a Kent ambassador, so when I go around the world, I try and speak up for the county and try and persuade people to come here for inward investment. In the last 2 years, I've spoken in China, Hong Kong, India, Poland 3 times, Australia, America, Canada. And coming from Kent, it gives me an opportunity to flag up my county. And as I'm sure you don't mind me saying, but I'm the dad of the Webb sisters.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a moment.
And they travel the world. Yeah. And I think in their rider, it says in there that they have to be introduced as the Webb sisters from Kent, England.
So, oh, really?
So I think that, you know, that they've done their unofficial bit in being proud of our county too.
They've been on tour recently as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they just finished 33 concerts with the mighty Leonard Cohen. Brilliant. Across Europe.
Wow.
And they leave this week for America, where they begin a US and Canada tour with Leonard. They're primarily songwriters, and I think they're some of the biggest British songwriters. Last year they did Webb Sisters tours around the world, which I gather sold out. But when somebody like Leonard Cohen or Sting wants them to work with them, that they seem rather keen to do so.
Yeah, I don't know why. Why would that be? Yeah, brilliant stuff. And you've got a bit of a musical background as well, Mr. Webb.
I'm an old rock and roll drummer.
Yeah.
And
so you're deaf then. I'll say you're deaf then.
Pardon? But no, I often say to musicians that I made a major contribution to music, and they always look at me intrigued. And I say, yeah, I brought 2 more drummers into the world, and they nearly always go, oh, right.
Yeah, because your boys are drummers as well, aren't they?
They are. My son, my young son's the drummer with Jamie Cullum and Tim Minchin, and previously with Amy Winehouse, who used to rehearse in our home.
Wow.
And so there's a rather a musical legacy. And my oldest son, he's an academic, but he drums in Beatles tribute bands and things. So he's kind of Rongo or Ringo. His name's Rod. So he's kind of Rongo.
Because Amy had some really innovative drumming in her music, didn't she?
Yeah.
So he must have been part of that.
Well, when Brad toured with her to Canada and around the UK, he used to call her Amy Winebreath, rather amusingly, because of course it wasn't serious then. It was just like banter within the band. But of course, when I give my speeches around the world and I touch on the musical heritage, I get a bit of street cred when I'm speaking in schools when I say that my son toured with Amy. But of course, as a boring parent, I have to jump in quick and at least do 10 seconds of what a terrible tragedy it is that such a talent has left us.
Absolutely. So I mean, there's virtually nothing this man hasn't done.
There isn't, but I do want to ask a bit more about spina bifida. How rare is it now?
Well, it is on the decrease, because women have learnt that a lack of folic acid can be a contributor.
Because as soon as you're pregnant now, they give you folic acid.
Well, no,
don't
that's actually incorrect. I spoke at the World Conference of Spina Bifida in Helsinki, Finland, and the scientist that discovered the folic acid link, he sent us away with this message: any woman of childbearing age in a physical relationship must take folic acid daily.
Right.
That's nothing to do with I might have a baby.
Right.
It's too late, because spina bifida is formed in the first 25 days of pregnancy.
Really?
So by the time you're pregnant, it's too late. And, you know, it's where the spinal cord fails to close properly. And in bad cases, the fluid goes up into the head, where you see the children with the enlarged heads.
They call encephalitis.
It's called hydrocephalus.
Hydrocephalus.
And for me, I had an alleged mild case, but it involved the weird feet, the wasted legs, the incontinence, and I self-catheterize 7 times a day now. So the amazing surgeon saved my life, and also allowed me to walk around as a continent person rather than what happened in earlier years.
Would that have been available if you hadn't had the funds to do it privately? Would you have been able to do that on the NHS? Or?
Oh, absolutely you would. But I think there was an absolute correlation between my own lack of confidence and lack of self-esteem and my subsequent confidence, where I could sit in front of professors of surgery and politely challenge them.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're a school dropout with no confidence, focusing on your disabilities, you sit in front of a high-level professor and you kind of sit there and say nothing, and then you forget what they actually told you. And when the guy in Harley Street said he would be able to operate on my feet, he said there's a 40% chance you'll walk a lot worse, 60% chance better. I said, well, I fly a lot. If I was going to get on a plane, there was a 40% chance of it crashing, I wouldn't get on it. And I said, would you do this on your son? Would you do this surgery on your son? It's a great question.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I would, but 25 years of conferences, I'd probably go to the world's top foot and ankle institute in Chicago. I said, I'm giving a speech in Chicago next month. Would you mind if you helped me to see somebody? And that's what happened.
Wow. Right,
and okay. So I went to Chicago for the surgery. Paul, as I'm charity minded, would you mind me mentioning that my son has dragged me in to grow a moustache in November for the Movember.
No, you go for it.
and so if you'd kindly put the link on at some point.
I
can't remember it exactly, but my son has called it Two Generations of Tash. And so my son Brad and I are in the same little group, and I'm going to suffer growing a tash. I'm sure he's going to try and outgrow me. But my eldest son's doing it as well with his company that he works in. But that would be something amongst all the other valuable charity things you've kindly suggested. If somebody feels like supporting my tash growing, that would be good.
Brilliant. We will definitely put a link on the Business Bunker website to that. It's a fantastic thing that you're doing. Graham, we could talk to you all day. I mean, you're just such a fascinating and inspiring man. I want to know a few things from you, though, just logistical things. First of all, tell the listeners the name of your book.
It's called Out of the Bottle,
right,
which is nothing to do with drink. It's because I'm a shampoo
salesman. Yeah, come back, Jules.
Because I was a shampoo guy.
Right, okay. Out of the Bottle by Graham Webb.
So, and it's best available on my website, which is www.grahamwebb, with two Bs, grahamwebb.co.uk. And there should be my first e-book, should be out in about 6 weeks' time.
Cool. Is that an e-version of Out of the Bottle? Or
yes.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
And each time I do a new edition, it gives me the chance to update it. So it will be an updated
brilliant
version.
Fantastic. That is good stuff. We will put all of those links on our website. But for the moment, Graham, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do feel free to stay with us for the few minutes we've got remaining of the show. For the moment, though, ladies and gentlemen, that's Graham Webb, MBE. Brilliant. Big round of applause out there in Radio Land.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Thank you. I think we're going to
tunage.
We're going to have a bit of tunage in a minute, but I'm conscious that we haven't covered any of the emails we got. Can you do a quick email
for us,
Jules?
I will do lots of
And then we'll have a bit of tunage.
Are you paying too much? I've still got cockroach in my throat or something that I've eaten. Scorpion.
Could I just mention that your guest in this studio shortly, Mr. Steve Harley,
yes,
was a client at Graham Webb.
Was he?
Was he?
Oh, right, okay. I'm sure he'll remember you. He'll probably go, oh, just touch it up round the back, please.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to ask you, though? I know you've gone, but I want to ask you, because Paul didn't let me ask, what do you think of all the organic products that are coming through, like Aveda and, you know, the bleach free stuff? Because I'm a real fan of Herbatint, which is a
I think it's great colour. I mean, there isn't a hair colour that is genuinely unharmful. You know, you have to, when you have to have it, you have it, you know, and but no, I think anything that helps healthy products is a jolly good thing.
Cool.
Thank you
good.
For that.
Go with that email.
Okay. Celebration offer. Are you paying too much for IT support? Are your IT services making your business the most efficient it can be? And do you have the right backup solution in place? Be part of something special. MPR IT Solutions are now an award-winning IT service provider. The announcement has been made. MPR IT Solutions have been awarded with the Regional Chamber Business Award for the commitment to people. And to celebrate this, make the most of our Kent venues offer in October. Benefit from complete assessment of your current IT systems, a free health check, and most importantly, a consultation is available. You can email sales at M for Mother, P for Peter, R for Roger, -it.co.uk, and that's before the end of October, so you've only got a week left. www.mpr-it.co.uk. So that's a free offer there from them.
Brilliant.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that, Jules. I think we'll play a bit of tunage now and get settled, and then we'll go from there. Yeah.
Is it Steve?
Reckon? It's a bit of Steve.
Bit of Steve Harley.
Yeah, this was released when I was 21 years of age. I played it at my 21st birthday party.
Did you?
What do you reckon?
Judy Teen.
Mm.
From Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh.
I beg you to not judge before you've heard it. difference between an alpaca and a llama?
About a foot.
Which one spits?
Both of them. Channel Radio. Just going to have a rough guess.
Yeah. Can you get that alpaca out of the studio?
Back to normal now.
Yeah, man!
Broadcasting from Hagelands Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channelradio.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Channel Radio. Hey, did you recognise some
of
the people in that?
Hey,
that was good stuff.
I recognise the alpaca.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
Do you want a mealworm?
No, thank you. Not in a moment. We got a zillion things to cover, and we've got a few minutes left of
what
the show, really.
Steve Harley coming?
He's going to be here shortly.
I feel a frisson.
Yeah, there's loads of people gathering out in the car park now at the moment, but we've got loads of tweets still to read out.
I've done my hair, especially Graham.
Yeah, I noticed. We've got Keith Wilkins. We're listening to the Business Bunker Radio Show from Avocet HQ.
Hello, Keith.
Things are really taking off here, but we could always do with some new clients. So that's Avocet Recruiting. So do look them up. Keith Wilkins and the team over there. And we've got the Whitstable Twit. Yeah, Christmas cakes are now available to order at Rehab in Whitstable.
I think you've mentioned rehab four times now.
I have probably. Is that because I'm probably going over there, isn't it?
On Friday.
Have I mentioned that? And do you know what I'm doing over there?
Yes, your hair waxing.
Yeah, okay.
Chesting, showing off your moobs.
Yep. And we've got Harry Covert.
Oh, Harry. He's been on last night.
Yeah, Harry Covert has been on, and he's saying, how about getting Damien Allsop to make the grubs in chocolate? Yeah.
Mm.
Please plug his pop-up shop in Tunbridge Wells. It opens at Chapel Place on the 22nd of November.
Yes, you know I'm going.
So that's Damien Allsop. You're going, are you?
I'm going to eat the chocolate ganache.
Are you?
Blimey. Apparently, Damien is the only person to make the chocolate ganache with water.
Right.
And it's really, really tasty. I shall let you know.
Yeah, cool. So I'm catching up with these. There's a whole heap of things here, so a lot of them are still talking about Gary's bit.
Do you want a mealworm while I...
Elmcourt Farmers Market. A lot of food experts think that insects are the way to feed a growing world population, so good luck to bush grub. There you go.
Yes.
Yep, and then something completely different. Kevin Edmonds, hi Paul, and the team at Business Bunker. DMS Graphics are exhibiting at the Kent 2020 Startup Show tomorrow on stand 183. Yeah, do get along to that. That's the Startup Show at Kent 2020 tomorrow. So do get along.
Manana, do you want one of these green bush grub tucker lollies?
Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? I'm going to stick that lolly in my face and then I'll be able to speak for the rest of the show, won't I?
Would you want the green one with the mealworm or do you want the pink one with the mealworm?
Watermelon and apple.
Oh, can I have the watermelon one?
Yeah, of course
you
can.
And you have the apple?
Just leave it up there because I'm trying to catch up with these. We've got new
We've
got new potatoes saying how inspirational they found.
As you're that shape.
How inspirational they found listening to Graham.
Apple shape.
What?
As you're that shape. Apple shape.
Are you interrupting me again?
I'm saying you're apple shape.
Am I?
Have the apple one, I have the watermelon.
Cool.
Lovely mealworm in it.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I'm getting a taste for them now.
Yeah, but it's no good you eating them. You've got to read an email.
Oh, I can suck and eat and read at the same time.
I don't want to know that. Just read an email.
Hello, Paul and Jules. This Friday, any chance you can put out a last call for your make your marketing work? We've done this. Oh, no, it's another one. Learning Day, which is happening in Maidstone this Friday. The name of the workshop is Make Your Marketing Work. It's this Friday, the 26th. Registration is at 8:30 a.m., finishing at 4:45. It's at the Russell Hotel in Boxley Road, Maidstone, Kent. Investment is £57 a ticket, which includes VAT. And you can book it via Eventbrite. And the link is makeyourmarketingwork5.eventbrite.co.uk. It'll be on the Bunker website as usual.
Cool.
Got another one here. This is from the lovely Mark of Made in Kent, Mark Smith, who's a great supporter of the Bunker. Hi, Paul and Jules, or Jules and Paul. I wanted to tell you that you and your other listener about what we've been up to over the last few months. IMK has been busy developing a system which B&B and guest house owners that we've been approached so far have said that it's been a really long time coming and just what we've been waiting for. Unlike other online booking room systems, ours works in real time and is a real time saver. Rather than asking B&B owners to continually update their current or future availability and prices, which is a really time-consuming task in itself, our system alerts the B&B owner to a booking inquiry as it is made via a text message sent directly to their mobile phone. They then have two options. They can simply ignore the inquiry completely, which of course takes no time at all, or they can respond by replying to the text message with a price. The traveller then gets to choose from the real-time responses received based on a real price and the distance from their chosen location and from the facilities at the B&B. The beauty of the system is its time saved all around for both travellers and for B&B owners. They're launching the site, hopefully, and it's covering Canterbury, Faversham, Herne Bay and Whitstable B&Bs for the moment, and then rolling out to the rest of Kent in the next 2 weeks. So thank you for that, Mark. Guesthouse and B&B owners, if you want to take part, please register at www.nearestroom.co.uk or call 01227 281611. Or get in touch, just Google Made in Kent, Mark Smith, or come to us at the Business Bunker website and we'll have that. And Mark, I will be giving you your Wee Willy Winky hat back very soon.
Cool. I've got a tweet here from Liquid Pleasure. They've got a whiskey tasting evening and tickets are selling fast, so you need to book your space now. Compass Box Whiskey Tasting and Blending Evening on Friday the 26th of October. Starts at 7:30 p.m. and the tickets are on sale now, and that's at Liquid Pleasure in Tenterson High Street. And
fabulous shop.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can book your tickets by going to www.shop@liquidpleasure.co.uk, or you can call them on 01580 761 110, and I'll put both of those links on the Kent Business Radio website, so that if you want to book your whiskey tasting evening for Friday the 26th, that's this Friday. If I wasn't teetotal, I might go to that after my chest wax.
Can't you just swill it round and then spittoon it?
And spit it on my chest?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll need to be anaesthetised.
That'll work, wouldn't it?
I tell you, Paul, it's going to be incredibly painful.
Yeah, thank you. You're not the first person
to
tell me
that. Very painful.
With a big cheesy smile on your face while you're telling me, that's going to smart.
I know. And the boys at Liquid Pleasure, Ian and Marcus, I will be talking about my visit to Enrique Mendoza's on the Scoff Show, which starts, I think it's next week, Paul, isn't it?
Yeah, 7th of November, you're starting, aren't you?
You are the producer, so
yeah.
Hope you've got the day.
I'm the producer, am I?
Well, you told me you were.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't think it was an option, was there?
Yeah, yeah, because I've got nothing better to do.
Well, also, you're so talented.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Whatever.
Christmas at the Abbey, HMS at the Abbey. This is the fabulous Hilda Marie. I'll give you the website. It's www.catering4kent.co.uk. This is located on the Abbey School, which is on the London Road in Faversham in Kent. We'll cater for all your corporate parties, parties of two to larger parties of 50 or more. There's a marquee hire available for large parties. There is a number, it's 01795, which is the Faversham code, 229714. £30 per person with a champagne cocktail, £35 per person with champagne cocktail and half a bottle of wine. That'll be me. So have a look at the HMS at the Abbey website or cateringforkent.co.uk. Book it now because she will get booked, because if you've ever had her Christmas pudding and her panna cotta, you'll know why.
Brilliant. I've got an email here that's quite important. Could you announce our competition winners on the show, please, Paul? We have three winners who are Helen from OT Work Solutions, Roger from the Centre for Micro Businesses, and Samuel from forges.co.uk. They have all won a free stand at the North Kent Business to Business Show on the 6th of November.
Well done, Helen, Roger and Sam.
Yeah, so well done to you. And that's from Daniel at Auratech. Auratech.co.uk, the IT support company, and they sponsor the startup area at the North Kent B2B show, and they have awarded these free stands. So that's from Daniel Eels at Auratech.co.uk.
He also is a real gentleman, because when I was staggering out of Lenley's last time with the meerkat under my arm, he helped me carry him to the car.
So I've got to blame him.
Because it is a huge meerkat.
I'm going to get you for that, Dan.
He's sitting here in the studio.
I am actually going to get you, because that meerkat has been stalking me for weeks, and it's about time we got shot of it.
Listener,
has somebody not guessed its name yet?
No, nobody has, but we don't know if it's a he or a she, but he's actually in the studio beside Paul Andrews on that side, on the producing side and the presenter side. Not on the floozy side.
Cool.
And he'll be at Lenny's this Thursday.
Oh, we got one.
Just want to ask, I'm eating this lolly with a mealworm in, and it's a really, really nice flavour of watermelon. What happens when you get to the mealworm?
You eat it.
You eat the mealworm.
So it wiggles out, does it?
A couple more tweets. Kempfenews.co.uk. Great show today, guys. Found Graham very, very inspiring. Thank you for that. And Beaujolais Boy. Cheers, guys. We've tuned in all day today. I've got an email here. Hello, Paul. Hope you're well. If you get a chance on the show, could you give our new service a mention? As part of Cobra Risk, we're doing in-house or at a client's office's first aid courses, 3-day and 1-day emergency and refresher courses. For more information, go to consultcobra.com. And click the corporate services tab. That's from Dr. Nicholas Green at Cobra Services, Cobra Risk.
I always feel safe when they're at the tweet up.
Right.
Those two brawny lads.
They are a bit on the large side, aren't they?
Yeah, Kent Chamber of Commerce here, the Channel Chamber of Commerce. I'm just going to read out the website because we're running out of time. www.kentchannelchamber.co.uk. Peter Hobbs has sent this in. Lots of stuff happening here. The networking breakfast is Thursday, 25th of October, so that's day after manana. And it's at the Grand on the Lees in Folkestone. Look on the website to find out all about that. That's kentchannelchamber.co.uk, and it will be on the Bunker website after the show.
And just to follow up with what I was saying from Daniel at Oratech earlier, the North Kent B2B show is actually at the Woodville in Gravesend on Tuesday the 6th of November, and it's from 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m.
That's a long session.
Yeah, get along there. Long day. That's North Kent B2B. And the website is www.northkentb2b.co.uk. I've got this as well that I wanted to read out.
Hundreds of emails.
I know, there's thousands, and we've only got a few minutes left. But a dream's come true in Canterbury. The new RSPCA Animal Rehoming Centre opens last Saturday. The new Canterbury and Dover Animal Centre at Haysden Farm, Island Road, Westbier, officially opened on Saturday the 20th of October with a short ceremony attended by the Lord Mayor of Canterbury. The realisation of this state-of-the-art animal rehoming facility is the result of several years of hard work and dedication by the local RSPCA committee and their many, many supporters. With the main body of work now completed, the centre already holds up to 80 cats in 40 specially designed units, while a further phase of building will yet see the addition of both a dog unit and a hop house for small pets and rabbits.
Hop house.
All of which can find themselves looking for new families to care for them. Claire Butler has been the secretary of the Canterbury and District RSPCA branch for almost 40 years. During that time, her tireless efforts and thousands of hours of voluntary service has resulted in many hundreds of animals being cared for and rehomed. So that's a fantastic thing. That's from Geoffrey Holland, who's a trustee.
Yeah.
And,
hi, Geoffrey.
We know Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for that. So that's the new Canterbury and Dover Animal Centre at Haysden Farm, Island Road, Westbier, for the RSPCA.
I think Meerkat's going to see that as well.
Yeah. I think Graham wanted to mention a bit more of a follow-up on what we did earlier about the lottery charity.
Okay, so just very briefly, something special that the link will be on the Bunker website, but that is a wonderful place that is changing the life of autistic children through them learning a musical instrument. And if the lottery date finishes this week, so if you feel like voting to help lift these wonderful children up, that would be great. And could I also say that the Institute of Directors Kent, now run by David Philpott, is a brilliant chairman. He's carried on my legacy in the way that I would feel proud of.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for that. On both counts as well, we totally agree. That, as Graham says, we will put the links to that on the Kent Business Radio website. But David Philpott, who is a great friend of this show, in fact, he was recently in Uganda. Oh, did he? Yeah, he got
wearing
Graham
a
here.
Yeah, Bunker T-shirt.
Yeah, we got a tweet from him with a photograph of him wearing a Business Bunker T-shirt in Uganda, which was absolutely awesome. Yeah. So
waving
fair play, fellas.
On a mountain.
Yeah, good stuff. I've got an email here from Frankie at NPR IT.
Hi, Frankie.
About eConnect, offering reliable, high performance and super fast internet that will not let you down. NPR fully manage your internet connection so you receive the very best possible service from install to support. Everything is handled by us in-house. So you can find out about that at npr-it.co.uk.
Folkestone School for Girls are looking for a governor. Become a governor and make a difference. So contact N Petrie at Folkestone Girls School or Google it, and details of that will be on the Bunker website after the show.
Cool. You've got time for another email.
Can I ask you to mention my juicy workshop, which is taking place at Bay Point, Ramsgate Road, on Saturday the 3rd of November, 11 to 1. This is from Carol Brace, The website is carolbrace.co.uk/events. Tickets are £10. Discover the secrets of how to obtain a slim and vibrant body, Paul.
Really?
And keep it that way.
Right.
Hear about weight management program coming in January 2013. Discover the amazing health benefits of natural produce. So that's juicing nature's fast food into your normal diet with a mealworm, bit
absolutely
of juice. That's all we need.
Absolutely. We're all bugged out here.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, we've reached the end of another show.
Have
so,
we?
Yeah, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my lovely co-presenter, Jules Serkin, and we've had two fabulous studio guests, Mr. Gary Bartlett from Claws and Jaws and the Bush Grub organisation that has fed us royally on scorpion, mealworms and various other buggy...
And we've survived.
And so far, yeah, and I've got teeth full of cricket parts, but apart from that, brilliant. And we've heard from the absolutely stunningly inspirational Mr. Graham Webb, MBE, entrepreneur, author and speaker, author of the book Out of the Bottle. Please get a copy of that, and there's an e-version going to be available soon. All the things you've heard on the show today will be linked on the website as soon as I get back and can link them all, and you can follow up with all of those. If you can't find anything that you've heard on the show that you want, just get in contact with me. Email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, tweet me at VanillaWeb, and I will point you in the right direction. So anybody that wants to follow up with absolutely anything they've heard, you get hold of me and we'll put you in touch. But for the moment, that's it for another week. You've been listening to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. But coming up at 3 o'clock, that's in half an hour's time, we have Extra Milk with Kevin Cann and the legend that is Steve Harley.
Harley.
I know. And we're just off to say hi to Steve and get our photos taken and all that rubbish.
Off him a mealworm.
Yeah. But for the moment, thank you very much.
Do you want a scorpion?
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.